So we've seen the story so far, and we've seen where we're up to now. And we see that Jonah has been given a second chance. We saw that when Martin spoke a couple of weeks ago. God is the God of the second chance. God doesn't write you off when you get something wrong. He says, up on your feet, now let's try again. And that's what he did with Jonah. Remember, Jonah didn't want to deliver this message. Why was that? Well, if you think about it, at the time, the cultural background, Jonah was a Jew. The Ninevites were not. They were Gentiles. They were enemies of the Jews. They weren't God's chosen people. So as far as Jonah was concerned, these were an unclean people. These were people not to even associate with. If he takes God's message to them, there's a chance that they might repent and turn around and be accepted by God. Jonah couldn't handle that. It would have been distasteful to Jonah. We can't emphasize enough the cultural gap between them. But despite that, Jonah, this time, he went. He got it right. It's what we would have expected in the first place from one of God's prophets to actually go there. And this time he does it. Once there, his message is very, very simple. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, have you got your thinking heads on? Because we're going to do a very quick word study here. It's really helpful to understand one of these words in particular. Don't worry, it's going to be very easy. You see, the word here where it says overthrown, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Or in some versions it says overturned. Now the original word here has two meanings. It can mean to turn over, which means to destroy. Or it can mean turn around, which means repentance. So the Ninevites hear a message of destruction, but with the hope that this can be averted if the message brings repentance. So, because you might say, well, God's, the message was, you'll be overthrown. But God relents. So surely he hasn't done what he said. Well, he has. He's brought repentance. Because there are two ways of looking at that word. They could be overthrown if they don't repent. Or they could be saved if they do. So here we are. He's delivered the message. What happens next? How did the people of Nineveh respond? And we see the response in verse 5. And this is, when you think, these people were evil. This isn't just that God didn't like them or they weren't worshipping. They were evil. They were doing evil things. They were just an abomination in terms of the things they did. And yet we get to verse 5 and it says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. What a fantastic and straightforward response. They believed God. They heard Jonah, but they knew the message was from God. And they believed. But it went further than that. It went further than just belief. Oops. Don't worry, I'm not giving this away. Also, I said, don't worry, don't get excited. I've got here a £10 note, okay? This £10 note, that's not worth £10. It really isn't. It's a bit of paper. It's real, there's a strip through it, which might be worth a little bit. The ink, that might be worth a little bit. I mean, what is this worth intrinsically? What is the value of this bit of paper?
10p.
10p, yeah, maybe 10p, I don't know. Could be. It's probably a good guess. Worth practically nothing. So why is it that when I go into a shop and hand that over, it's worth £10? It's worth the goods to the value of £10. Well, that's probably a long story and one I won't go into. But why do I use it? What gives me the confidence to use this? Because I'll tell you why. Because one day, my parents would have said to me, see this? This is worth £10. It would have looked different to this then, because this is a much newer one. We didn't have pound notes then. You didn't have shoes. Who said shoes?
Actually, they did.
No, you're right. Yeah, when I was born, they did have shillings, but, you know, that's another story.
Yes, they did.
I didn't expect abuse when I started this.
Should have given me a tenner then.
Yeah. My parents would have told me. They'd have given me an instruction. They'd have said, this is what this is for, and this is what it's worth. You see, if they hadn't, what I'd have probably done is I'd have probably done this. Because this is what I did as a kid with every bit of paper I found. And for the benefit of the recording, if it can still pick me up, I'm making a paper aeroplane out of a £10 note. I'm going to stop that because I can't afford to do that. I'd have made a paper aeroplane out of it. Because that's what I did. But they said, no, this has a value. But it's no good them just telling me it. It's got to provoke a response. You see, if it hadn't provoked a response in me, I'd have just carried on making paper aeroplanes out of it. But my response was to treat this differently. My response was, well, I'll value that. I'll do something with it. You see, it's no good just being told something if you don't respond to it. There's no point hearing something and doing nothing with it. I could have heard that and then wasted a whole lot of money. A whole lot of my parents' money at the time. But no, they told me something. My behaviour changed as a result. And I did something with it. The people of Nineveh, they were told something. They believed it, but they didn't just stay there. They did something with it. They actually did something. Their belief in what they'd been told caused them to change. And this is what it means by repentance. They stopped their wicked ways because of what they'd been told. They didn't just say sorry, but there was an outward response. They displayed it by wearing sackcloth. Has anybody here worn sackcloth? No, nor me. But have you seen it? I mean, you don't see it a lot these days, do you? But sackcloth is rough and dirty because it's got a commercial industrial use. It's itchy. It's uncomfortable. It would have been very unpleasant. Remember that here in the Middle East, it was hot. It would have been sweaty. It would have just been revolting. But that was a sign for them at the time that they were truly repentant. So they wore sackcloth. And it wasn't just a few, it was everybody, from the greatest to the least. Not only that, but they said, we're going to fast as well, we're going to stop eating. That's a big sacrifice. They're going to wear this and they're going to stop eating. This was genuine, heartfelt repentance. And then we read that the message reached the king. His response now would dictate what happened, what continued, whether the people continued in their repentance. And not only does he agree with them, but actually takes it further and strengthens the response. In verse 6, the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This was one of the most powerful men in the Middle East, in the region. And he got down from his throne. That's big. Took off his robe. A robe was a sign of authority. He removed his sign of authority. Put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. And then he sent out a decree, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. So you had to get out there, don't feed the cattle, don't water them, just put sackcloth on them. So that was horrible as well. But then he went even further and then called mightily on God. So here are people who had no regard for God at all. And now the king is telling them, call out mightily. Not just, you know, turn to God, because that would be helpful. Call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. And then he says this, who knows? Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. God was about to devote that city to destruction. It kind of has echoes of Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't it? the way God just rained destruction on them for their evil. Those cities that he wiped out, he did wipe them out. Well, I don't know whether they'd have known that story, but God had done it before. But when you see their reaction, again, this story doesn't post, even then, Jonah doesn't get seen in a good light throughout all of this, does he? But and even when he's doing what God says, he still looks bad because they repent far quicker. They respond to God far quicker than Jonah did. Took Jonah twice, didn't take these guys twice. And these guys didn't even acknowledge God. And yet they turned straight away. This is total repentance. But even at verse 9, who knows? God may turn. They still had no certainty that this was going to save them. They had no certainty at all. The king is asking people to do all this because maybe God will relent. He saw what was coming and said, you know what? Let's do whatever it takes to make sure it doesn't. God might still do it, but let's do all we can to try and show him that we've changed. It's an incredible situation. But how are we going to apply this today? What are we going to do with this today? You see, there are so many ways we could apply this. We could apply this definitely in terms of repentance. We could do that. We could look at repentance now and we could say, well, you know, we need to be quick to repent. There's the lesson for us. We need to be quick to hear what God's saying, quick to turn. And it needs to be an outward response. You know, we could do all of that, but I'm not going to do that today. We could talk about the fact that we've got to go, just as Jonah was told to go, and tell people the good news of the gospel. We're going to kind of do that, but not quite. I'm going to ask you something about this. You see, what I want us to do this afternoon is really examine ourselves on this. How confident are we in the message that we have? You see, when I read this story, I was amazed at how quickly the people responded to God's message from Jonah. It was incredibly quick. Not a God they followed, yet they responded immediately. Jonah wasn't surprised. Jonah wasn't surprised. I was. So what does that say about me? Jonah wasn't surprised at all. He knew that the message was from God and God would act one way or another. You can tell that because of the reason he didn't want to go. Next one on Jonah, Phil's going to do when Jonah turns to God angrily and says, I told you this had happened. These dreadful people and they turn to you and you're not destroying them. I won't pinch what Phil's going to say, hopefully. But that was Jonah's response. And so Jonah knew God was going to... I knew you were going to do that. Jonah knew that God was going to respond. Why? Because he had a message from God. And if you've got a message from God, God is going to do that. And people will respond one way or another. But what about us? What is our confidence in the message we have, which is the gospel? We have a message to take to people. We have that to take. We're given that by God to take. But what is our confidence in that? Do we have a confidence in that? Do we expect God to act? What are our expectations when we share the gospel with people? Why am I so surprised that the people repented straight away? I shouldn't be surprised. It's a message of good news from God. Why am I surprised? Well, it could be for a number of reasons. And they're going to come up one by one, hopefully, on the screen. So just as I say them, just pop each. Oh, no, they can all come up. That's fine. If they all come up, that's not a problem. These are some reasons I thought of why I might be surprised that this message of Jonah's was effective and this message of ours. You see, it could be for the following reasons. It might be that I don't actually believe the message that I've got. Because if I don't believe the message of good news of what Jesus has done, then I won't expect people to respond. It may be that I don't believe that God can do what he says. Maybe that's why I'm so surprised at this. Maybe I don't believe that God will do it. Maybe I don't believe that God could use me. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe I don't believe that the Bible says we've got a message to take anyway. Be hard to believe that one because it's there in black and white. Maybe I'm afraid of what people will say as I say it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why I'm amazed, surprised that this happens. Maybe it's past experiences. Maybe I've got some past experiences where I've shared the gospel and nothing appears to have happened. Maybe that's why I'm surprised that people repented straight away. You know, maybe that's why I carry this amazement. Oh, people changed. Well, yeah, it's a good message. Might be other reasons too. There may be other reasons. You may think of other reasons. You may think, well, yeah, I can tell you reasons why I don't share the gospel because of this or because of that, why I don't share the message, or why we're so surprised that the message is effective. We shouldn't be surprised that the message is effective. So how do we overcome this? How do we overcome these reasons, these blockages to sharing the gospel? How do we get past that? How do we become effective in sharing it? Jonah was given a second chance. We found that out a few weeks ago when Martin preached that God is the God of second chances. And then, not only did we hear it from Martin, but then a lot of us went to the Catalyst Festival, and Terry Virgo got up to preach on Sunday and said, "Please open your Bibles at Jonah." And I went, "Go on, Terry. Back me up here." Actually, backed Martin up, didn't he? He said a lot of what Martin said. I think he nicked it the week before off our website. No, I don't mean that. I don't think he listens, but someone who knows him might. And Terry was absolutely superb. Just going to record him. He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant because he said the same thing. God is a God of second chances. God does not write you off when you get it wrong. But why is that? Why is it that God said to Jonah, or God didn't say to Jonah, "Right, you messed it up, I'll get someone who can do it"? He didn't do that. Why? Because not only was the message important, but the person was important too. It wasn't just the message, but Jonah was important as well. The message of what Jesus has done is something that's very important that we need to take out, but it's not the only important thing in the process. If it was, then God could do it himself far more efficiently than we could. It's about us as well. It's about us growing as disciples. And you know what? I think one of the fastest ways for us to grow as disciples is to share the gospel and make new disciples. Too often our tendency is to say, "No, I can't do it yet. I'm not quite right. I've got this to fix. I've got that to fix. I've got this in my life that stops me. I've got that in my life that stops me. I need to be different. I need to be better." No, that is wrong. The best way for you to know God better, to be more in his hands, is to get out and share the gospel.
Yes.
That's the way to do it.
Yes.
Because actually in the process of doing that, God gets you. And suddenly you think, "Oh, I'm making disciples and God's teaching me as I go." It's genius because it's God's plan. And that is what God is calling us to. So today, I believe what God is saying to us as a church is that it's time to go again. It's time for us to go again and share the gospel. Now, I know many do it. I know many talk all the time about what Jesus has done. Many of us are rubbisher, falter, get it wrong, bottle it. Many of us do. Maybe most of us. But God is saying to us today, I don't think it's any coincidence that Martin spoke about God giving second chances. Then Terry spoke about it. And then we're looking at this. And I think God is saying, "Come on, Grace Church, another chance. Let's go. Let's go as a church." Now, I don't mean go as in somewhere else. Some are called to go somewhere else. But for us, for many of us, go to your friends. Go to your work colleagues. Go to our neighbours. Let's go again. Let's not let it fall. Let's do it again. Because God's saying, "Do you know what? This is about you as a church, not just about the message you're taking. If you want to grow as a church, if you want to grow as disciples, if you want to be a people in my presence that are close to me, then you need to go again. Because this is as much about you as it is about the people hearing the message." That is what God is saying to us today. So where you have got on one of those boats going in the wrong direction, off to Tarshish, it's time to get off that boat. And God is saying, second chance. Come on, let's do it again. You and me, let's do it. Let's take the message out. So how are we going to do it? Given this list, do you believe the message that you're taking out? Do you believe that God can do it? You may say, well, I've done it before and nothing happened. How do you know nothing happened? Nothing happened while you were standing there. I had a friend that I went to school with, and I shared the gospel with him lots, and he basically ran in the opposite direction. Then I left the area, and I found out 10 years later that he'd become a Christian. It's amazing. It's amazing. We don't know the effect our message is having. We need to trust God that it is having an effect. It says in the Bible that he won't let his word return void. God does stuff. We don't always see it. We deliver the message and we have faith that God will do it. We have faith that God will do it. When I go and spend my £10 note in Morrison's tomorrow, well, I won't because I live in the car, but you know what I mean. I will have faith that this will be worth what it says it's worth. We need to have faith that God's message is what he says it is. That he can do it, whatever you see as a result, whatever reaction you get. But how do we do it? Because I'm not belittling those, because we have issues, don't we, in terms of things we carry, reasons we don't do it. So how do we do it? Number one, we repent. We repent. Like Jonah did. Jonah repented. Jonah said, you know what, I got it wrong. I need to get it right. So that's the first thing. Jonah repented. He turned around. He changed his behaviour. Just like the Ninevites did. First we repent. And that means saying sorry to God for getting it wrong, for not doing it, for all that kind of stuff. It'll be different things for each one of us. And then here's the second thing. There's only one more thing we do. We get into the presence of God. Jonah, when he was in the fish, he worshipped God. He worshipped him. He got close to God. He went to God. He was in his presence. This is not about us trying harder. This is not about us just trying to get it right and making more effort and gritting our teeth and just getting it done. It's not about that. As we spend time in the presence of God regularly and consistently, then he will work in us and we will have an overflow to share. That is the way we do it. There's no 5-point plan to get it right. It's repent and get before God. When Jesus sent out the disciples in Matthew 28 with a great commission to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, they'd been in his presence. They were with him, physically with him. They'd understood who Jesus is and who that made them. You see, the more time we spend in the presence of God, the more we understand who we are. The more we get to grips with who God has made us. Because we just get to know him so deeply and so intimately. It's just magnificent. And we understand, I'm his. I'm his child. I'm in his family. I can do this. And then actually it just becomes who we are and we can't help but share it. It's not about trying harder. It's about getting into the presence of God. So, what do? Well, we get into the presence of God and we repent, don't we? And that's what we're going to do. And I've managed it. We've got time. I plan to have some time. So what we're going to do is we are going to spend some moments now. Pam and Esther are going to come up, and Oliver, if he's... Yes, he is. So the guys, the musicians and singers and are going to come up. And what they're going to do is they are going to play for a little while. They're going to play for a while we spend some time quietly. Just you and God. I believe that God really is speaking to us about going again. And if he's saying that, that means that he's preparing results for us. He's preparing to see people changed. He's preparing to see lives changed. Yours and your friends and your neighbours and your colleagues. We need to have faith in the message that he has given us, confidence in it. God wants to change people, because that's what he does, make people more like him. So we're going to spend a few moments now before God, and where you feel you need to repent, remember what that means. Think about the people of Nineveh. They believed, and then they took action. So at this point, this is the believing and approaching God on that. And then the action comes. And we're going to spend a few moments as these guys play before God, quiet, just speaking to God and saying, okay, where I've got it wrong, God, I'm sorry. Where I've backed off, where you've given me a commission, I'm sorry. I want to get it right. I want that second chance, that third chance, that fourth chance, or that 100th chance. Depending on how old you are, you may have had more chances than others. I know I always need lots of chances. But God's there ready for you to do that. And we'll speak to him. Just you and him. And then, after we've done that for a little while, I'll let you know, I'm going to get us to stand. We're just going to worship God for a few minutes to another song. And you might want to stand and sing that song. You just might want to stand and worship God in prayer or just quietly. That's entirely up to you. But we need to be in his presence. And then my encouragement to you is, as we leave this place together, it's often easier to do this together. When you're on your own, just ask God, God, I want to be in your presence. I want to be the kind of person that it just spills out of. This doesn't have to be a lot of effort. It's who God's made us to be. It's our natural state. And the longer we spend in his presence, just the more we'll be like that. I'm desperate to be like that. I'm not like that, okay? I'm not like that, and I want to be like that. I want to be someone where just talk of Jesus just spills out me to people. I want to be like that. So I needed to hear this. I might have just been standing up here for me today. I needed to hear this. And I need to keep hearing it. I'm pointing over that's where my notes are.